Hi, welcome to Microsoft Build 2017. I'm Mark Rideout, Program Manager here in Windows. Today I'm going to be talking about building and optimizing your applications for the large screen, or the Surface Hub. Behind me I have a Surface Hub, it's a 55-inch. We also have a larger one that's 84-inch. Surface Hub is all about touch and interactivity. I actually have my slides here projected from my laptop here, and I can use touch to advance the slides. Surface Hub is all about unlocking the power of the group. There's four key pillars that we work with. First off, it's about being the best in class video and teleconferencing that enables people to come together and brainstorm with others. Second, it's about reimagining the way meetings are done so that they are more collaborative and more inviting, whether it's a small huddle space, the team space, or the conference room. Third, it's about being a showcase for that large screen experience. And fourth, it's about basically that modern workspace where we're displacing the passive screens and projectors with something that's inviting, engaging, and all about collaboration. So let me give you a quick tour of the OS. I'm actually running in the OS right here. I'm going to exit full screen. I'm going to go to the Start menu here. Start menu, it's not like your regular start menu on your Windows 10 PC. We're focused on four different things. First, it's about getting to your meeting fast. Getting to a meeting is important, especially in settings where we find the Surface Hub. Second, it's about a whiteboard. Collaboration happens a lot in whiteboard scenarios. So people coming together and collaborating around that whiteboard. I'm going to launch that for a second. You see, ink just flows from the tip of my pen. We support 100 points of touch and two pens, allowing multiple people to collaborate together. The third thing to note is the Connect app, and that's how I'm projecting my content today. And the last thing to note is the application catalog. We're unlocking the power of the Windows 10 applications on the Surface Hub. So there's a lot of sensors that we provide in the Surface Hub. Being a best-in-class video and teleconferencing, we have dual cameras and we have mic arrays. We have a lot of other features of the device here. Come see me on the build floor if you want to learn more. But this session's all about building applications. So what do I need to do to use this device to build? One thing I need to do is to make sure it's in developer mode. I'm going to go to the Settings app to unlock the device for developer mode. And the first thing you'll note when I do that is that it asks for the admin password. Why is that? Well, this device is one that's it's a communal device. It's an enterprise all-in-one. And because of that, it is something that whenever I'm using the device and then I'm done, and then walk away, the next person has a great experience. We don't want what I'm doing affecting the other person. So that means a lot of settings and a lot of aspects of the device are locked down. So that what I need to do then is to go ahead and enter the admin password to get to the Settings app. Now I'm in the Settings app. I'm going to go ahead and go to the developer mode, similar to where you would find it today on your Windows 10 PC. So I did already unlock this device, you know, that way you didn't have to watch that part. So I'm going to go ahead and say I'm done. And I'm going to get back to the welcome screen. Why am I doing this? I want to showcase here that we highlight that the device is in developer unlock mode, and we provide the IP address. That IP address will be very important when I want to actually build and deploy applications to the Surface Hub. So at the welcome screen, the IP address is very useful because that's how I go and target this device to build and deploy. So I'm going to get back into the slides for a second and talk a bit about actually what do you need to think of when deploying to the and targeting the Surface Hub. So the first thing to note is that the Surface Hub only supports UWP applications. We don't support other application types such as Win32 or device or packaging up a Win32 application to target a UWP device. Basically, that's just a packaging story. So what you want to do is go ahead and target the device family of Windows.Universal. When you package up your application, all you need to do in the Dev Center is leave these two checkboxes checked. First is to make sure that you're targeting the PC application family. But the last checkbox is very important. This checkbox basically tells Microsoft that showcase my application in the store for Surface Hub, basically allowing us to target these future hardware categories. Because the Surface Hub is an enterprise all-in-one and target and use highly in enterprises, there's two things you might want to consider with regard to licensing of your application. First thing to consider is enabling your application to be deployed via manageability tools. That requires the application to have an offline license. So do consider whether you want to support an offline license, because enterprises love to be able to push out their applications in that manner. The other thing to consider is if you want to do some sort of volume licensing. This is allowing an enterprise to purchase a set of licenses and then have your application in their enterprise store for business. All right, so there's a little bit of stuff out of the way with packaging. Really designing for Surface Hub and being intentional in your design is easy. First thing to note is that whenever I deploy my application to the Surface Hub, it automatically scales the application to fit the screen. That's great, but there are some challenges. At the end of the session, the device actually cleans up after itself. Why is that? Well, I mentioned it's a communal device, and because of that, what I do, I don't want to affect someone else, what someone else does. So if I created a file using your application, if I needed to modify a 3D model, all this stuff that I might have saved locally, that actually would get removed. So do consider adding cloud support to your application. The other thing to consider is every single time I start your application, it's really like it started for the first time. So consider hiding any first run experience. Hide it behind maybe an additional help menu or something like that. So when I'm up at the device and interacting with the device, this is what we call a 1-foot interaction zone. But the Surface Hub also supports great conference room settings where I might be stepped back at a conference room table. We call that a 10-foot experience. But I want to highlight some challenges when looking at that 1-foot experience. First thing, when I'm up here, I don't want to have to use a keyboard and mouse. So optimize for pen and touch. Also, understand the posture. In some cases, if I do start to use a keyboard and mouse, maybe use that as a cue. Or if you detect that there's two active pens being used at the same time, maybe that's a cue to posture that there's multiple people up at the device. Being up at the device, the brightness can be fairly strong. I recommend using a dark theme in your application or muted colors. And last thing, because that 1-foot interaction is like this, scale and design and positioning of UI content is important. I'll get into that here. So first off, the Surface Hub scales your app to fit. I kind of highlighted that previously, but it's important when you look at scale, because when your controls and your apps are all scaled out, moving over here for some buttons to complete one task, and then going over here to start a next task, this is a lot of movement. Try and reduce that movement. This is a 55-inch model. Imagine on an 84-inch model, that content should be more centered into the application. So I'm not having to consume everything all at once. We call this the cone of awareness as well, because if I'm looking at your application here and you change some sort of status or a notification, it might be hard for me to actually see that when it appears down here. So consider the sweet spot of your application and what the sweet spot of your content is. And I'll highlight all this when we get into actually building some demos. So let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to switch over to Visual Studio now. And I have an application here. It's basically, I call it Design Firm. And with Design Firm, The whole purpose is being able to see pictures of furniture. It's a UWP XAML application. It works great with mouse, and I can type, you know, hey, I like this floor plan, or I like this piece of furniture. That's great. Now, what do I need to do to really take it to the next step? Well, one thing to note is, since I'm running on a device that supports touch, I can actually pretty easily pan through here. That's great. But I want to actually design for pen as well, because more and more devices will support pen. So how do I do that? So I'm going to go ahead and go to my main page XAML. In this, I have a data template. So the structure of my XAML here is there's a window, a frame, a page, and then in that page, there's a flip view. The data template for the flip view says, here is the visuals to use for what I'm showing. I'm going to just put an ink canvas in here. And with this ink canvas, I am quickly going to be able to add ink support. Watch this. Now that I've added that ink canvas and I have my pen, I can go ahead and ink right in that right of that image, and I could use touch to actually flip through images. So having a dev machine that supports pen and touch is a great step towards actually developing intentionally for Surface Hub. But now I need to get into the scale aspect, right? Because when I run this application on the Surface Hub, it's going to look different. So one of the things that I've already done was add my Surface Hub to as a remote machine. I added the IP address underneath the project's properties. When I do that and launch it over here, you'll see a couple things happen. Visual Studio will automatically package that up and will deploy that and run that on the Surface Hub. That's great. When it's over here, you'll see, look at the scale. If this was an 84-inch display, this is quite large. The beauty, though, is that ink is supported and touch is supported. Awesome, I like that. But the scale, we need to really address that, because if I wanted to go up and use a hamburger button to change the areas of images that I'm curious about, it's a bit of a reach. I have to go up to that all the time. There's probably something I can do there. These images are fairly large. I don't think I need to have an image that large to really understand that this is a couch that I like. So let's look at what we can do to change that. Going back to my main page XAML, I'm going to talk about how adaptive layouts can be quite helpful. You might be familiar with adaptive layouts. There's three kind of types of dealing with adaptive layouts. Today, I'm going to be creating an adaptive layout that targets the device family of Surface Hub. Because while I can do an adaptive layout that targets a large screen, in a lot of cases, the Surface Hub's so unique that I want to look at the device family. But I start the same. I'm going to go ahead and inside my Visual State Manager, my VSM code here, I have a state trigger, and I have some setters here that will get the look that I want. Now, because I am targeting a device family, there is no state trigger that I get automatically that allows me to target a device family. So I created one. It's pretty simple. All I do is derive from the state trigger base class, and I look to see if the device family being requested matches what the device is actually running on. So let me go ahead and run this back on the Surface Hub. You'll see I have my state triggers here. And while this is compiling and running, You'll notice I do a few things to the menu classes and the main page, basically adding a little bit of margins and making that pane automatically open. So here you go, the application's running as if I started it from the start screen. I brought in that content so that it's more in my focus area here. I automatically expanded the menu on this left side as well. So having this margin here and bringing this down will make it to where I can easily consume the content here, and the images fit better as well. So that's a simple thing, but what else could we do? Well, one of the things to note, I'm gonna switch back to my video here. One of the great things we have with Visual Studio is what we call the simulator. The simulator allows me to run an application in a simulated environment. Now, I've already set up my simulator to mimic a Surface Hub 55 inch, and in Visual Studio 2017, you will have that option, and it's pretty easy. I went ahead and did that. I'm gonna go ahead and launch this over to the simulator. And you'll see the simulator opens up and my application fills in that. Give it a moment while it does that. Great. So here we have the simulator. This simulator is basically, imagine it as your 55-inch Surface Hub. Kind of looks like how it did previously. Also note that I can use touch, even in the simulator, and even through the Surface Hub, or on my screen back here. I could even use ink. But I want you to notice one thing. What is different than what we previously sent over to the Surface Hub? Well, it's the issue of device family. So the simulator can simulate a screen size and scaling, but it cannot simulate a device family. So what do we do for that to deal with that? Well, one of the recommendations that I have is basically to do a compiler flag that looks at a compiler flag when I want to force a certain device family. So what I've done here is set up this compiler flag called force surface hub, and to make it easy for me, I've also set up a debug configuration, and I'll go and switch over to that, and I'm targeting the simulator still. I'm going to go ahead and hit debug. While that's happening, while that's building, I'll let you show when my compiler flag is set, it goes ahead and forces it to use the Teams UI or the Surface Hub experience. So there we go. This is exactly the way I saw it previously on the Surface Hub. That's a great technique to use since the simulator does not emulate. All right, there's one other technique that I want to highlight here. This is a great technique when you have a device that you can actually debug and build against. In some cases, you have the same code behind, but you just want to change the visuals. One of the supported features of Visual Studio is to be able to create another XAML page, but have a specific naming construct. So here I have mainpage.devicefamily.teams-teams. Why dash teams? Well, what we call the OS is a team OS, and then the device is the Surface Hub. So we're targeting the OS here in this case. So device family dash teams. So I'm gonna target the remote machine back to the Surface Hub, and I'm gonna go ahead and build this and send this over. What Visual Studio is doing, again, packaging this up, and you'll see once this runs over here that my designer did a small tweak. It's kind of hard to notice, but because this is a Surface Hub and it's about pen and touch, my designer went ahead and removed the text box that was down there, basically saying, hey, you don't want a text box when it's all about pen and touch. Great, but she actually came back and said, you know, Mark, I really want to see this go beyond just a simple tweak of the visuals. So she gave me some ideas, and those ideas, though, require a different code behind. So what I'm going to do here, and instead of just modifying the XAML page, I'm going to actually navigate to a different page. If you recall, the way the page is set up, there's the window, the frame, and the page. And to navigate to another page, I'll just go into the app.xaml.cs. And in here, I'm going to go ahead and remove going to the previous page and go to my custom page that I worked with my designer to create. So I'm going to go ahead and get this deployed over to the Surface Hub. And while this is deploying, you'll see that I'm using the same debug type flags. And so this allows me to go ahead and use the debug flags to have an experience that is beyond what I just had previously. I want to highlight this. This is using a 3D carousel control. That's great, really completely different. Ink still supported. That's great. Now, because this is about a collaborative device, if someone else came up and started using another of the pens, you'll notice two things. First off, I detected that there's another pen here, and I automatically moved the like and dislike buttons to the sides, so it's within better reach of multiple people. The other thing to notice here is I can detect the ink colors and based upon the pens. One draws in blue and one draws in green. So with a few tweaks, I've been able to really have a great experience on Surface Hub. But I want you to see something of interest. When I go back to my laptop here, and I go ahead and I target my local machine, and I go ahead and start this, I want you to see what this looks like. What do you think it's going to look like? Well, my hope is that it's adaptive, right? Here on my local machine, it looks just like it did when we started. So you kind of see this progression of adding ink and touch, progression to adaptive layouts where I'm looking at the device family. And all this doesn't affect what I previously was doing and how it looks on my Windows 10 PC. So to wrap it up, first off, intentionally designed for Surface Hub by figuring out where you can add pen and touch experiences. The other thing is to consider how you can add adaptive layouts. Look at the size of the screen and look at the device family. Use a simulator when you can develop and debug locally, and use some of the techniques I showed about debug flags. Last, I recommend looking at some of our previous build channel 9 videos as well as previous build sessions. Thank you and have a good day.